بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. In the infinite wisdom of Allah Ta'ala has created a thing like ranking. And if this order of Allah Ta'ala is maintained, then the earth runs smoothly. And if this is ignored, then all systems begin to fail. In every country you must have a head, and the head has to be respected and obeyed for the country to run smoothly. Then in every home you need to have a head. If the head is respected, recognized, then the home runs smoothly. But if there's no recognition for the head of the house, and everybody does his own thing, then obviously there will be disorder, the home will be messed up completely. So in this ummah, there are three ranks, three categories and three ranks. And the ranking has to be respected, recognized, respected, and also loved. So the first ranking is As-Sabiqoon al-Awwaluna min al-Muhajireen. The forerunners of this ummah were the Muhajirs. They gave up their homes, their residence, to live in a foreign land without any guarantee of any sanctuary and abode. No guarantees. And it wasn't that they had given up their homes out of their own choice, but they were driven out. أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِ. They were driven out of their homes. They were forced out. And their only crime was, they said, لا إله إلا الله. We worship Allah Ta'ala alone. We will not join any partners. In other words, when you believe in Allah Ta'ala alone, then our whole order, our systems, our minds will work according to the order of Allah Ta'ala. That order will not be influenced by person, country, people. It is Allah Ta'ala who will dictate the terms that you do this and you don't do this. You accept this and you will understand this in this manner. No person will come and tell you that this is my explanation, and because it is my explanation, you need to accept it. So the only crime of the Muhajir, the forerunners of this ummah, was they said that we will take the instruction as it comes from Allah Ta'ala, undiluted, unpolluted. We don't want the West to pollute it, nor do we want the East to pollute it. Pollutions can come from any side, one side or the other. One pollution is gender equality, someone is bringing the pollution of virus, someone is bringing the pollution of algae. So all these pollutions will happen, right? And contamination, pollutions will happen. And then we will still say we hold on to Allah Ta'ala, irrespective of the circumstance. So فَقَدِ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُسْقَى. And if you have made up your mind, then you have held on to a handhold that never breaks. خُدَا کا رَسَّى ٹوٹ نہیں سکتا, چھوٹ سکتا ہے. The rope of Allah Ta'ala, that handhold is so strong that it never breaks. Yes, you may leave it yourself, but that handhold never breaks. It's left to the individual how he wants to tune, how he wants to mix up, how he wants to pollute things. That's left to him. Because every person has been given a choice, individual choice. There's no compulsion. Someone is using the choice correctly, and someone is abusing that individual choice. So these were the forerunners of the ummah. We call them the Muhajireen. And the greatest sacrifices, the greatest hardships were borne by these people. Someone is tortured, someone is persecuted, someone is killed, someone has to go through a miscarriage, and all of them have to leave the lands. And their lands are not like our lands and our properties. Maximum we can say that we are here for approximately 140, 150 years. That's maximum what we can say. And these people that were residing there, the forerunners, we call them the Muhajireen, they were living in Makkah from the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So that is approximately 3,500 years. So they had the properties, they had the businesses, they had the investments, everything in Makkah Mukarrama. Now they saw the truth in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They saw the honesty in him. They saw that he was a man of God. They saw that he is everything for us. So every other allegiance was broken, and the allegiance was given entirely to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From today, you will instruct us, you will order us. If you say that this wealth is haram, then we will not try to work out a way to make it halal. If you say that this type of a relationship is haram, we will not employ our minds to configure something to make it seem halal. We will not do it. We will take it as you say. So our minds, everything has to become subservient to your law. We will never alter your command. So that was the allegiance they had given to Rasulullah Paksam. As a result, they had to move away from their homes. That was the center, most central place of Islam. Two of your obligations are performed here. Namaz in that direction. Hajj is incomplete without you coming to Makkah Mukarrama. So all that, but that allegiance, that loyalty that they had given to Rasulullah Paksam, said, so now we're not going to break this. Come what may, our life will go, our wealth will go, but the primary thing is our allegiance to Rasulullah Paksam. And when they said that they were giving this to Rasulullah Paksam, they meant it. It wasn't just lip service. Hazrat Suhaib Rumi radiyallahu is moving away from Makkah Mukarrama to take sanctuary in Medina Munawara. And he is pursued by kafirs. You can't go. But Suhaib radiallahu anhu turned towards them and he said, you see, I am an excellent archer. If I aim for anybody, I must get the target. And it won't be an easy thing for you to get me. Because I am an archer, I know how to escape. I know the movements, I know how to do it. And whoever I target, I'll get. And after my quiver is emptied, then I will use my sword. After that you can do what you want to do. But if you want to have a better bargain, then all my wealth is in Makkah Mukarrama at a certain place, at a certain spot. All the wealth, all my investment, all what I've earned and acquired, you can have all that, but allow me the free passage to Makkah, to Madina Munawara, to see my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to live with him. So that was the obsession. Rasulullah meets Suhaib radiallahu anhu, and he says, رَبِّحَ الْبَيْءُ وَبَا يَحْيَى. What an excellent bargain you have struck. You have given everything away just for me, just for Islam. What an excellent bargain. رَبِّحَ الْبَيْءُ وَبَا يَحْيَى. So every type of perceivable, conceivable sacrifice was made by them. Someone is brought just for the sake of Islam, just for the sake of you remaining truthful, not bring about a diluted Islam. The world wants a diluted Islam. The world will tell you, this is how you must take your Islam. They will explain the wahi of Rasulullah Paksu. Who are they? Someone is a Satanist, someone is a gay, someone is a lesbian. But they want to dictate that how you must practice your Islam. See, they want now to push the woman out of their homes, right? Then you must also listen. They want the woman to intermingle freely. Then you must also listen. We are saying, we'll have to then reconstruct the whole figure of Islam, you know, redo it, because we are saying it. So that means they have taken the position of God, that they will interpret and they will then explain to you what Islam is. So Rasulullah can't teach you any longer. The Sahaba Kiram radiyallahu anhum, they can't teach you. These shaitans will teach you how to then reshape whole Islam, and you must accept it according to how we say. So these people are hard. No, no. Come what may, we will remain like this. So a person is brought. Imagine the type of difficulty. It's unperceivable, the torture, the pain that they have. Someone is ostracized for 3 long years. Absolute, complete ostracized. No food, absolutely nothing. For 3 long years, including Rasulullah Pakistan. But they can go through all this. A person is brought just because of Islam, and he's put into the pit, and there's a saw, and his whole body is sawed down just because of his Islam. But nothing shakes him. No, for my Allah Ta'ala, for my Rasulullah Pakistan, I can't give up anything. You may do as you want. The most you can do is kill me. That's all. Beyond that, you don't own the life after death. You don't control Jannat and Jahannam. So the most you can take is this life. Beyond that is not your control. So let it be. You want to do it? Let it be. You want to throw us into the fire, which they did for thousands of people? Very good. Let it be. It is just a little bit of suffering that we'll go through, but we know what we've got in reserve. A person is brought, he's tied up and he's fastened up. The ends of his body are tied onto animals, and the camels are made to run in opposite directions. You can imagine now how gruesome it is. You don't want to even think about it. But nothing shakes them off. Then you get this one group, then you get a second group that is called the Ansar. Right? وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. They also are great. They have settled in Medina Munawwara, and they have settled in Iman. They are really settled. I say I'm settled. So the heart is settled. The heart is not half-half. No, it's settled in Islam. It's embraced it. It's taken it. It's settled in Islam. تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. They have settled properly, correctly, entirely into Islam. And then they settled so well, يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. Those refugees that are coming from Makkah Mukarramah to take sanctuary in Medina Munawwara, then how do they receive them? يُحِبُّونَ. Allah Ta'ala testifies. Whose testimony can be as great as the testimony of Allah Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala testifies, يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ, that these people don't only provide the refuge, but they really are anxious to see them. They want to see them. They're coming to us. And then it doesn't stop there. And then how do they open their businesses, their homes, etc. for these refugees? How do they do? That's gone to a different level altogether. It's something that's beyond our reasoning. Sa'd ibn Rabi radiyallahu anhu, or Rabi ibn Sa'd, he's got that brotherhood relationship with Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiyallahu anhu. So all these people are made like brothers. But what was meant by the brother is not like what we say, he's my brother, 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 bhai. No, that was real, there was blood. So when they said he's my brother, then what did they do thereafter? See, he's about the wealthiest in Medina Munawwara. I got so many thousands and thousands of hectares of land, thousands of date trees, that's the main business. Thousands of animals I've got, right? So half is mine and half is yours. And really what comes to you will be more pleasing to what than what remains with me. What you take, I will appreciate that more than what you leave for me. I will appreciate. Even if you take a little bit more, it's alright. And that sacrifice and the generosity doesn't end there. See, he takes it to another level altogether and he says, I've got 2 wives, and both of them are extremely dear to me. Both extremely beautiful. But I give you the choice, whichever one you would like. Look at them, I will divorce one that you will like, and she will serve her iddat and she can marry you. So they took the generosity to a different level altogether. Absolutely different. These refugees, muhajireen, are coming from Makkah Mukarramah to take refuge here in Medina Munawwara. Sometimes they're coming in batches of 50, 20, 30. Rasulullah Barsam is also housing them, hosting them himself. And sometimes there are too many, 50 coming at a time. So what he can take, he will take, and then he will present those people to the Sahaba Kiram. And some will say, I'll take 2, 1, 3, 4, 10. I will take so much. So one Ansari, he's taken some, whatever the number, but he's taken some. Now he makes it known to his wife that Rasulullah Pakistan's guest, and what are we supposed to be doing? So the wife says that the only food I've got is what we left for the children. Now sometimes it is that the children would eat, or even an adult would eat, as a routine, not as a need. So need is something else, and the routine is something else. Like you have eaten now, and the routine is you have some tea and some biscuits. So that's just the routine, it's not hunger. So the children now, they are given something to pamper them as a routine at night, and then they are made to sleep. So this Ansari has an understanding with his wife, that what we will do is, you will pretend to be fixing the lamp, right? And we'll let this guest of Rasulullah eat to his full. I won't eat, you won't eat. We'll remain hungry for the night. Now the children are eating as per routine, but the adults haven't eaten from the morning. 6 o'clock in the morning, now it's 9 o'clock at night, right? So can you imagine now? Huh? How many hours? How many hours? Hungry, Arabian heat, 50, 55 degrees, working on the outside, coming in to look forward to a hearty meal. And at that time, say no, all that is for the mehman, for the guest, nothing for us. And both the husband and the wife are eager about it, they're happy to do it. Upon which Rasulullah SAW announced to them in the morning that really Allah Pak admired what you have done. يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. They prefer this, even though they are going through constraints, severe constraints. But the idea is now, we have given, placed our loyalty, our faith to Rasulullah SAW. We cannot shirk, whatever. Our lives can go, we can have difficulties, we can be in constraints. But when this loyalty has been given to him, they will not shirk. So, one is the forerunner, right? Understood the forerunner and his role in this whole exercise of Islam. Then you understand the Ansar and how he cooperated, right? How he supported eagerly, wholeheartedly, until Allah Ta'ala himself testifies, endorses their generosity, and how they had opened their homes for these people. Now, it brings us to the question, alright, then what's our role in all this? What is our role? There's not enough time, but just in 2 minutes, 1 minute, right? Our main role now is to recognize these people's sacrifices, respect them. مَنْ صَنَعَ لَكُمْ مَعْرُوفًا فَكَافِئُوا فَإِنْ لَمْ تُكَافِئُوهُ فَأَثْنُوا عَلَيْهِ خَيْرًا. Someone has done you some good, right? Then return the gift. Return the gift somehow or the other. You don't forget it. We are Muslims, we don't forget the good that has been done to us. Whatever it is, but we'll show the gratitude. But if for some reason you can't show the level of gratitude, you can't repay the person, then you don't stop there, then you speak good about the person and make dua for him. You speak good about the Ansar, you speak good about the Muhajireen. Extol the virtues so you can recognize who they are. You know, person doesn't know about his parents, he doesn't know what they are, what their status are, what they did to nurture you and to bring you up, difficulties that they've gone through to bring you up. You don't understand, you don't recognize it. So you don't hold them in that level, you don't hold them with that respect. But you know the difficulties, the hardships that they had gone through to bring you up. Now you recognize them, you respect them, you make dua for them. So you extol the virtues by doing kitab reading, read the stories of the Sahaba Ikram. Who were they? What were their sacrifices? So you recognize them, you praise them, make dua for them. And number three is also make dua for yourself, that Allah Pak, لا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا. That we are in this earth, we are in this planet, and this planet is a mixture. We have all type of situations coming. Someone is good, someone is average, someone is bad, someone is talking good, someone is talking ill of you. So it's likely that you have some type of malice and ill feelings towards someone. But then that's not the place of a Muslim. A Muslim is not supposed to be having any malice for his brother. لا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا. We don't have any malice for our brothers. Alright, they may be having some mistakes, some discrepancies. Now because of that, we have to harbor malice. No, that's not our place. So we want to have clean hearts, that barakat and the good is coming from Allah Ta'ala. You know, if you got a container, it's got a drop of urine, right? Will you throw in water into it? Will you pour water? So the same happens to the container of your heart. If the heart is good, clean, then that goodness that is coming from Allah Ta'ala settles properly. But if it's polluted, then it rejects it. That nur, that barakah, that goodness of Allah Ta'ala would reject it. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq.